Welcome back. Our guest is Claire Lopez, the co-author with me of See No Sharia, Countering Violent Extremism, and the Disarming of America's First Line of Defense. She has edited and authored numerous other books with us at the Center for Security Policy, where she serves as our Vice President for Research and Analysis. Indispensable, I think, and deeply appreciated. Claire, we've been talking a little bit about Iran and its involvement in the 9/11 attacks. It has been, of course, involved in a number of other terrorist attacks, both against this country and its people and others, for decades. President Obama, nonetheless, just about a year ago, engineered an agreement with the Iranians, a political understanding, we're told, not a signed deal, certainly not a treaty. A year on, tell us how the deal looks, and more to the point, what we must expect from an Iran that successfully engineered it with us.
Well, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, as they call it, agreement, which, as you rightly point out, was never signed on any single page of it by anyone, but reached between Iran and the P5 plus one, that's the permanent five members of the Security Council, plus one is Germany, about 1 year ago, basically allowed Iran's nuclear weapons program to continue. They got to keep all their infrastructure. They got to keep all their centrifuges. They had to unplug a few. They were allowed to continue advanced centrifuge research. They got to keep their ballistic missile program, which wasn't even included in the JCPOA. And we see them testing missiles now to great outcry, but it's not in the JCPOA. It's not in there. They continue blatant support for terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah, the Taliban, destabilizing activities across the region of the Middle East, particularly in support of their puppet regimes in Baghdad and Damascus. And then, of course, continued with horrific human rights atrocities against the Iranian people. And all of this under the presidency of Hassan Rouhani, who was billed as a moderate and the JCPOA billed as something that would boost his and other so-called moderates' possibilities for influence inside of Iran. Clearly, all of that woefully misplaced. I've just recently penned an op-ed over the weekend, actually, which I'm waiting to have published on this very topic, and I'd also point our listeners to a recent book just published by our colleague at the center, Fred Flights, who wrote the book The Obama Bomb, rightly focusing on the fact that the Iranians have been given a glide path to a deliverable nuclear weapon under the Obama administration.
It is staggering, I think, is the only way to describe what Fred Flights has chronicled in Obama Bomb. And what you've done so much over the years to describe as well, Claire Lopez, the prospect that any good can come of giving a regime with this record, and if anything, more and more inclined to exhibit quite explicitly its abiding hostility towards us, of giving them $150 billion. I mean, this is, it seems to me, truly national security malfeasance as well as fraud. Claire, one of the other things that you've been working on, and I just want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about it, is trying to bring about a new government in Iran. You have been party to a number of meetings, including one last weekend, organized by this group called the MEK, an opposition group. Tell us a little bit about the group and the meeting and where you think things stand with their efforts.
Yes, well, the MEK, Mujahedin-e Khalq, is one member of the broader Iranian opposition coalition called the NCRI, National Council of Resistance of Iran. The two of them were both on the U.S. Foreign Terrorist Organizations list just until 2012, but at the explicit behest of the Iranian president in 1997, President Khatami, who prevailed upon then-President Clinton to just put them on the list because he wanted them to be on the list. They were taken off the list after long litigation through the courts in Europe and in the United States and won their case that they did not belong on that list. And they hold an annual huge rally in Paris every year, the most recent of which took place last weekend on Saturday, July the 9th. 107,000 people, we're told, under an enormous conference center, convention center, and included many delegations from around the world, including a high-level delegation from the United States that included Judge Michael Mukasey and former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, also former FBI Director Louis Free, former U.S. National Security Advisor Fran Townsend, and former Governor and also Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, and others. What the agenda is regime change in Iran, not necessarily to replace the Mullah's regime with their own, that's not the idea, but rather to free the Iranian people to choose freely their own leadership, which is not the case now, despite a facade of democratic elections that they hold every so often over there. And there is a 10-point plan by the NCRI president-elect leader, Mariam Rajavi. The 10-point plan can be found online, but it includes support for things like a free market capitalist economy, gender equality, no more WMD, weapons of mass destruction, end to support for terrorism, equality under the law. As we said, the Turki bin Faisal Al Saud, the former intelligence director of Saudi Arabia, part of the royal family, does not hold a position officially now, but appeared at the convention to pledge support to the NCRI for regime change in Iran, I think is tremendously significant. We know from discussions that arrangement took many months to negotiate. And now, as we see, there's a kind of a tripartite alignment that has taken place in the Middle East that I think none of us could have imagined a short time ago, and that is the Saudis talking to the Israelis and now including the Iranian opposition, NCRI. And the reason for all of that is fear of the aggressive expansionism of the Shiite regime in Tehran and its regional destabilization drive for deliverable nuclear weapons, too.
Right. These are truly extraordinary times, and we'll be following closely, as I know will you, Claire, the efforts of this opposition group and the prospects for change inside Iran when the Obama administration's efforts are doing nothing but shoring up and strengthening this regime. Claire, lastly and very quickly, could you just give us 1 minute on Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, as she is much in the news at the moment, and it's the moment for reflection on what actually came out of that episode.
Yeah, the announcement by FBI Director James Comey a week or so ago that the FBI, after a long investigation, would not recommend indictment of Hillary Clinton to the Justice Department over the email server issue. This does still leave the issue of the investigation into pay for play, as they say, as Peter Schweitzer has documented so well in his book, the investigation into the Clinton Foundation and whether there was malfeasance there in terms of favors given for donations provided. But in any case, this absolved Hillary Clinton of at least that one aspect of potential indictment over her emails and the server. And, of course, this plays into the entire Benghazi debacle because, of course, as Secretary of State at the time and through the tremendous work of organizations like Judicial Watch and other media, Fox and Breitbart, we know that some of those emails contained information about her role in the Benghazi debacle,
including the cover-up.
Leaving our people unprotected.
Claire, thank you so much for all of this great work. We are deeply grateful to you for discussing it today, but also for doing it day in and day out at the Center for Security Policy. I look forward to continuing this conversation with you soon. In the meantime, stay well, keep up that good work. And next up, we will look forward to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.